T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
McNeil and Parkins 1 year anniversary flashback. Flashback.
I feel so close to you right now.
We heard Sage Rosenfels earlier today with Bernstein and McKnight.
I just absolutely loved it, and it just reminded me of the last time I was in Home Depot when some guy says, I love it when you tease, you and Parkins start teasing about Mark Potash text because I always, or tweets, because I always read Mark Potash and I love his work.
Hot
sometimes
seat.
You can be in the weirdest places and people will say things about stuff that happens on the show and you least expect it. You say, wow, okay, a Mark Potash fan. There's people stopping Bernsey at the grocery store.
I can't tell you, the text lines and everything just lights up. And people actually who have stopped me in the grocery store and specifically have mentioned this segment as making them smarter and better football fans because of your insight.
Yeah, I'd like to say partly to talk about it and partly to let the new guy in on the mood here a little bit. He is the light of my life.
Oh, Sage, if your travels ever bring you here, I got to sit down and share a meal with you.
Maybe the Bernstein and McKnight show will grab you a nice, big, expensive piece of meat somewhere.
And I'll come to Chicago for business, and we can go to Gibson's, and you guys can buy me a steak.
He is so amazing, you know, and I wish I could know him more, you know?
Sage Rosenfels.
He's been great all season.
Amazing resource.
You learn a lot. Like, the little things to look for in Mitch's day that you didn't, you know, you watch through it and it washes over you.
Always sell, baby.
All good things must end.
That's great.
Doesn't make it any easier.
He is one of a kind, you know? He's, I think about him all the time. And, well, I'm wondering, should we kill him?
We'll grab you a nice, big, expensive piece of meat somewhere.
Who wants some man meat?
I do. I want some man meat.
Well, then my man meat he shall have.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
You can't do it.
On 670 The Score.
.64-6767. It's been a while. There should be plenty of things that you have questions for. This hour on The Score brought to you by MegaPros. Repair, remodel, renovate. MegaPros.com. It's our 1 year anniversary-ish show today.
Yeah, Teddy Greenstein sat in for you last Thursday, and we didn't do a can't do it. You had it on Wednesday, so I feel like it's been a while since I've been a part of this thing. We did it in Arizona, but it was kind of a quasi can't do it, wasn't it?
Yeah, a little brief, a little odd, different components with it being on the road. Yeah. But we did do it. That wasn't when we had Patrick Saint-Esprit, was it? No, that was a different day.
No, that was Thursday.
Thursday.
A day I'll always remember when my feet hit the floor.
Sitting there eating his pancakes.
And talking about eating his pancakes right away.
Nick, in the South Loop, who's your question for? You're on Can't Do It.
It's for Shep, but Danny Mac. Sorry to hear about your dad. You know, we're thinking about you and your family, man.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate that.
So, Shep, obviously it's the one-year-ish anniversary, and there's been a lot of good things and I'm sure things for improvement as a producer. So my question for you is, for the next year, what's the number one thing you want to change or fix about the show?
I would say probably our standing with teams in town. Probably that would be goal mission number one. That would be the first objective, I guess, for the next calendar year.
That is an answer. Okay.
Okay.
And to get Parkins to relax once in a while.
I'll try my best.
But that's going to be much more difficult.
I'll try my best. 312-644-6767.
I'm digesting Shep's reply. That's not what I was expecting to hear him say, but he's on to something. I think that that's a group effort, and I think we all recognize that. That our relationship with the team is with the teams is a team effort on our part. So
yeah, okay. Absolutely. Yeah, I wasn't expecting either parts of those answers necessarily, but it's
yeah. Reciprocity is the key to every functioning relationship, though. You have to have two parties who want to resolve if something needs resolution.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be fine. It'll either happen or it won't.
Yeah, right.
312.
I know.
312-644-6767. Lewis in Downers Grove is on Can't Do It. How's it going, Lou?
I'm good, thank you. So this question's for McNeil.
What's happening, Lewis?
All right, so I've got a question, and this is because I was listening to your stories about the bachelor party in the pen. Have you ever hit a grav or a knife hit?
I have no idea what a grav even
gravity
means.
Bong. A gravity bong is where you take a bucket, take a 2-liter jug or a 2-liter bottle, cut the bottom out, make a bowl at the top, submerge the bottle so just the cap or just so the top is, well, you pack the top as a bowl, you submerge it, you light the weed, you pull it up so it creates a vacuum, take the bowl off, put your mouth on, and go down. And it just forces everything up.
That all sounds so good to me. Lewis, I you know what? I've never taken it to that level. I was born too early.
my buddy's a mechanical engineer. He was studying to get a mechanical engineering degree at Texas A&M. He made one out of a 10-gallon bucket and a 5-gallon water jug. I kid you not.
Okay.
So the knife one that you just heat up two knives so that they're like red hot. You take a little small piece, you touch into it, it vaporizes it.
Okay.
That's really interesting.
Thank you.
We're very high.
This is the highest you could be without wings.
Lewis.
I've never heard of that knife thing before.
Lewis. I bought a bong recently, but it remains untouched.
Really?
I haven't had one since the mid-80s.
I'm not all the way retired from them. Like, you know, if they were around, it was the only mechanism. But I don't have any interest in doing it like that anymore. Mm. That's just, no.
Yeah. It cools the smoke.
Sure.
That's the motivation for it. Cleaner,
yeah,
cooler smoke.
The quantity was just the thing that I felt like I'd rather pace myself.
Well, you don't have to smoke everything that's in the bowl.
Trust me, I know, but just those are big rips, man. big rips.
Right, because that pen is so light.
Well, but you get used to it.
Yeah.
It's easier for me anyway for the quantity.
my lungs took a day or two afterward to get used
Did
to
it.
Did
it really?
Oh, yeah.
Man. Let's see here. Pete's in Deerfield. Pete, you're on Can't Do It. Who's your question for?
All right. Smoke weed every day.
Hey, Pete.
Smoke weed every day.
Thank you. All right. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Happy anniversary. My question is for Danny Mac. As an outsider, my perspective is that the radio sports industry is probably involves a lot of networking and politicking and connections and calling in favors and things like that. Danny, Mac, what's the most underhanded, backwards thing you've ever done to sort of push a colleague out of the way, throw a roadblock in front of them, step on their throat, and make sure that you got the job done and they didn't, And then also, I would like to use the platform to say I'm really sorry to hear about your dad, and my thoughts are with you.
Thanks, Pete. I appreciate that. Everyone in my family does also. I don't have a ton of stories running through my head on trying to cut somebody off at the newt sack. I do recall while waiting for the score to get its license, while I was shining a chair with my ass on Belmont Avenue interviewing would-be producers waiting for license approval and the launch in January of 92. I was in a little bit of a war with Chet Kopic at the time, and I got an enormous kick out of calling guests on his show to hear call waiting go several times for a few weeks.
Oh, interesting.
That was kind of fun. It was like Larry Himes was the general manager, had been the general manager of the Sox and then took the Cubs job. And I knew Larry's number, so I hear Larry's going on with Chet. And I would time it as to when and call back. So I think I did it twice.
So the producer couldn't get through and get him on the air?
No, the Larry was on the air, but you heard the and you heard his voice disappeared for a half of a second.
I got you. You're sabotaging the interview.
I'd let it hit twice, and then I'd hang up, mm-hmm. and then I'd call back. And then I'd let it be, you know, hear it twice and hang up and call back. And so the entire interview, he had to botch the interview because it's just caller ID. It must be an emergency.
And they didn't have caller ID for you, so he didn't know it was you who was doing it.
They had no idea who was doing that. Yeah.
That's
kind of, I play dirty, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. That's not great, but you were in a war.
Yeah. 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 There's a little bit of a war going on. Smoke weed every day.
Smoke weed every day. Sean and Darian, you are on Can't Do It. Who's your question for?
Questions for Parkins.
What's up, man?
I'd like to know, when's the last time you shaved below the belt?
In the last month? I can't tell you like the exact day, but monthly-ish, somewhere in there. Just the clippings, you know, more trim.
How low are you taking her these days?
No, just trim, really. It's not like a full shaving experience.
No.
The Manscaped thing allows for like a real close clipping if you want it. It has all sorts of mechanisms, and it's unbelievable the technology that they have these days.
Yeah.
So I did those commercials, and they sent me one of those Perfect Package 2.0 kits.
Yeah.
The balm was lovely.
The front side of your man region is easy with scissors or clippers or what's called a peanut. It's a professional hair stylist razor. But when you go underneath,
the underside, tricky.
All it takes is just the slightest little nick, and I won't do that again.
Never again.
Oh, hey there.
Yeah, but you gotta keep it.
Oh yeah, keep it close. Yeah, absolutely right. Presentation.
That's exactly right.
Presentation
makes it look bigger.
Presentation of a circus peanut.
Well, hey, work with what you got.
I see.
312-644-6767.
Use your imagination, and you're probably right.
Eli, you're on Can't Do It. Who's your question for?
It's for Danny Mac.
Hi, Eli.
Once again, sorry to hear about your father. I want to know, what's your best moment with him? Sports moment.
The first hockey game I went to, 12-6 of 72. I was in sixth grade, and I was a huge Hawks fan. He had told me a couple weeks prior when I went to bed on a Sunday night, I was the kind of kid who'd go to bed with an earpiece in and listen to Lloyd Pettit doing Hawks games, and he came in my room, and he says, who are they playing Wednesday? And I said, they got the Rangers Wednesday. He goes, what about next Sunday? And I said, I have no idea who they're playing next Sunday. He said, well, they're playing the Los Angeles Kings, the Marcel Dion Los Angeles Kings with the Imperial Margarine sweaters. And he showed me he had tickets, and it was snowing like hell that day. And my dad didn't know his way around the city too well, and he was not feeling too courageous, so he was considering backing off. But he looked at the fat kid with the puppy dog eyes and said, I gotta brave it out in the snow. And we went to see the Hawks, my first Hawks game. They shut out the Kings 6-0, and I went to bed that night thinking my dad was the biggest man who ever lived for taking me to the game in the snowstorm.
And he was?
Yes, he was.
And he was. 312-644-6767. Joe, you're on Can't Do It. Who's your question for?
Parkins?
Yes, sir.
Did anybody in the scorehouse, if they did, smoke weed and say not to tell their significant other, who was it?
I don't snitch, but was your question, did someone do that? The answer is yes. Who that person was, I can't answer. But,
right, because they said don't say it on the air.
And I'm not snitching on anybody.
Yeah, but I think almost everybody said that last week. Asked the question, did anyone tell you not to say it on the air?
Yeah, and so the answer to that, your first question was, did anyone ask me to do that? The answer to that is yes. Who asked me to do that? I will not.
I lose by default.
Yeah, you do. That's right. That's right, Joe.
After all right, have a good one, Parkin.
All right, buddy. See you later.
Joe.
Sorry, that's the way the game is played. Ask your question better.
Neither you nor I said once all of last week when we were 2 weeks ago now when we were in Arizona, this isn't for air.
That's true.
Did either one of us utter those words once?
I don't think so.
Were we the only ones in the whole score gang who didn't say this isn't for air?
Probably.
Shep may not have said that. He might not have said this isn't for air because he didn't do anything or say anything that he wouldn't have wanted on the air. I mean, he's been willing to walk across the Michigan Avenue Bridge wearing underwear, so it's hard to embarrass him.
Yeah, I think he was the only one, but I don't know.
As I think about it, Zawoski didn't say anything.
I mean, at this point of elimination, we're going to just expose who.
Well, we were protecting Connor. We were all protecting Connor because he didn't want, you know, and he's going to get medical support for his assertion that taller, thin guys suffer from marijuana overdose more than normal shaped guys.
Yeah, I'm still waiting, by the way, Connor, for this medical journal that you're going to send me about tall, thin guys.
Oh, it's true. It's true. I mean, I got a friend who's tall, too, and the same thing happened to him. Oh, well, then it must be true.
Well, Connor,
there's two of you.
You're an inch taller than I am. What are you talking about?
That is from a guy who's so well-read, and I think on top of a lot of different topics, he's a smart guy.
Yeah.
That's a dumb statement.
I don't know. I assume it's a dumb statement. I want to see the proof.
He doesn't have any.
Well, I know.
He comes back with somebody he knows.
Right, that's anecdotal.
I want proof. Okay, I'll have my friend Paul call you.
I know another tall guy.
Let me see. The AMA, Paul. I'm taking Paul every time.
I just couldn't believe it. That was the last thing I was expecting today when he doubled down on the story. I figured that was an under-the-influence explanation. But no, he believes it's sober, too. That's our guy, Connor McKnight.
Yes, he is our guy.
You can listen to Transition today.
I'm going to miss Transition with Connor and Dan. I'm looking forward to it with Lawrence, but I'm going to miss it with those two goofs.
Yeah, and we'll have to figure out how it's going to go because I'm sure it'll be a little different, right? Lawrence's show is going to be 2 hours, and so those guys were transitioning into our show, and our show was 5 hours, so we'd go 20, 25 minutes with them. I assume we're not going to be on for 25 minutes with Lawrence, but maybe we will be. I have no idea. But yeah, we'll be transitioning between all of the shows, and if you didn't hear, starting next Thursday, we have carved out at the station 2 hours for Lawrence in the middle of the day, so Dan and Connor are now going to be 9 to noon. We're going to be 2 to 6. And Lawrence Holmes, produced by Tony Gill, is going to be noon to 2. But all of the shows will still be transitioning in some form or fashion.
That's correct.
1 week from tomorrow. And I should have mentioned earlier, Joe Ostrowski is now going to be the main night host in addition to his morning update anchor duties when we have night shows. But a big part of this was that there weren't, now that the Bulls and Cubs are on the station,
right,
there's not that many shifts at night. But when there are, Joe Ostrowski is going to be the first up to host from 6 until 10. So that was Can't Do It. Bottom of the hour on the score coming up. Brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. With only 5 home games remaining, the first place Chicago Wolves are making their push to the playoffs. Grab your pack and save with a Wolves fan 4-pack. Tickets and food are included at one low price. For ticket information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. We, of course, will talk to Lawrence about the big news in transition today coming up at 5:40 or so. Still have 2 people to qualify for a shot at Cubs season tickets when you hear Pat Hughes. We are at McGee's tomorrow. It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
McNeil and Parkins, 1 year anniversary flashback.
Hey, how was your weekend? Please make this personal and talk about, what's going on when you're getting in there and, you know, you're going out and you're catching an Uber. Hey, if you and your partner want to step it up in the bathroom and you finally get that bridge gapped, isn't that nice? We'll talk to Ron Coomer about the going-ons of... Oh, my God, I'm dying.
You want me to take it home?
It started drizzling, so we got out of there pretty quick. The highlight was a lemur eating lettuce.
A lemur.
A lemur.
Lemur. Not lemur. Lemur.
A lemur. It's a lemur, guys.
It's a lemur.
It's a lemur. Lemur.
No room to correct the man on this.
My guy.
He can say it all the hell he wants.
Bunch of results when you put in Black Widow. That is a scary looking... So it's a spider more than it is a snake. Not a snake at all.
Well, not more than it is a snake. Snake. It is a spider.
I get the same. Yes, it's more of a spider than it is a snake. It has 8 damn legs instead of none.
I'll tell you how I got
it's
there.
A spider more than it's a snake.
Oh, God.
Please make this personal. So whatever you're doing out there, I'd love you just trying to play it off like it never happened.
I really tried. Please make this personal. God. You know, when you hear all of them together...
Insert your name here for the back doctor.
I'm Ron Burgundy. It gives off the impression I don't know what I'm doing.
That's over a year, folks, so put it in perspective.
Thank you, Chris Tannehill. Man,
a year is a long time.
That is mortifying. 25 hours.
Another low light from April voice of a year ago, too. You want me to take it? Where are you taking home, Froggy?
It's my low-key favorite part.
God. Oh, man. Why did we slap that on the air?
I don't know.
How did that ever get on the air for 10 weeks? I mean, I missed, 2? maybe three.
Yeah, you worked through it.
Shut it down.
But that brought us your column on the 100 greatest movies or most enjoyable movies.
That's true.
You wrote that.
That's true.
I'm here.
Ray, remember when he would come in?
Filling a chair, yeah, sitting in that office down the hall all by myself. Bottle of Cepacol, like that's helping.
Why is Mac here? Commuting.
Oh, Mac's not there today, huh? Oh, no, he's here. He's here. Oh, why is it on the air? Oh, he's here, just not on the air. He's on the floor in a room.
Yeah.
He's here.
Just offering emotional support. We can't hear him talk.
And Mitch had the idea of having, you know, just for the video stream, to be in the studio and hold up cards with my opinions on them.
I'm glad that was an idea we shot down in the room.
Yeah. Yeah. I am too.
After being out for a little while, you're like, yeah, I'm going to come in. I'm going to commute. I'm going to, like, for what? Stay home. Get better.
It's something I don't know. I don't think so. He said no. It has to repair itself naturally, and the process is typically 10, 12 weeks, and that's about what it was. It sounded awful for about 10 weeks.
5 hours a day of talking just can't be good.
Well, once it collapses, it's there. You're not going to hurt it anymore.
I know. It's just an unusual profession for the paralyzed vocal cord.
I don't recommend it for anybody trying to do radio. If you're trying to be a singer or anything like that,
launching a new show,
it's changed the pitch of my voice forever, probably.
Yeah, but you sound twice, if not three times, as strong and good as you did at the very beginning.
Well, good.
There,
good.
You know, I mean, I don't good. Know. Do you notice a difference, like a strong one from your prime, so to speak?
Yeah.
A big one?
Yes,
really?
I do. I like the pitch a little bit better.
Oh, interesting. So you see an improvement.
I do.
Interesting. What is it? It's light? It's higher?
It's caused me to focus, too. It's retraining. It might be a tick higher, but
yeah.
It's caused me to focus on breathing more and projecting by using the diaphragm,
yep.
Things I was taught many, many years ago, but you quit employing. After a period of time, you just trust it, but I had to go back to that. You know, stand up for probably half the show. Better for projection.
I hadn't thought about it in those terms. You do stand a lot during the show.
In the place where I work. Stands in the place where he works.
Tom Thayer, one of our favorite people for the anniversary-ish show, joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. He loves that crosstalk. What's up, Tom Thayer?
Hi, man. Hey, Daddy Mac. When I was in fifth grade trying out for the St. Ray's Boys Choir in front of Mr. Pierce, and I didn't make it, he said that I didn't sing with my diaphragm enough.
Is that right?
Yes.
Did it haunt you? Did you try to change that and come back in sixth grade stronger?
No, the only reason I tried out is because it got me out of a class for that moment to go stand in line with all the other kids trying out.
That's awesome. Whatever it takes to get out.
Right. You know, I was looking, you know, that movie 3 o'clock High and all the kids just staring at the clock waiting for that moment to start that happen. That's where I was.
So what's good in your NFL world these days, Tom? You like the way the boys are shaping up?
Yeah, I do. It's kind of weird. It's a whole different approach that we've ever had to an off season in how many years. You know, really, when you look at the product the Bears were going to present the next season after the past season was complete, you were always looking where you had a mountain that was too high to climb. Now you're kind of at a base camp near the top of the mountain, and you've been able to make some changes. And then if you have a couple things that improve themselves from last season into this season, and they can have an impact on this team, you know, most offensively speaking, I you have to have different sights at the end of the season than you ever had in quite a while.
When you hear all of the free agent signings in one form or fashion talk about the Bears culture, how significant, how much weight do you put on that?
Oh, as important as it is to build these enormous palaces around the college landscape to recruit to encourage high school recruits to come there, the NFL is the same way. If you don't have positive message coming out of the locker room from free agents to be, if you don't have guys re-signing with your own team, if you don't have guys like Eddie Jackson telling the story of the Chicago Bears to a former division rival in Clinton Dix and able to attract him to come here, You know, all the things that are have been put in place by Ryan Pace, by Matt Nagy, the staff, and the players and the talent and the commitment they have here, there's a lot of positive messages being sent out there. And so, I think that's important, especially in today's social media world where the message can get out there in a lot of different avenues.
That culture had not been present. What during your time observing the Bears, either as a player, a broadcaster, when you went on and played in another team to finish your career with the Dolphins, was it at its worst, Tom? Was culture at a point where, man, you were starting to give up hope that they would be able to turn it around?
You know, Dan, I could sit here and tell you about my last year in the USFL and that experience when the head coach was Frank Cush. And you know, he wouldn't come out of his office until that we were in the midst of practice. There was times where they were coming on the field and actually cutting guys that were in full pads already, and they would disrobe on their way to the locker room and leave pieces of equipment as they went. You know, I was in a situation there my third year that it was hard to go out there and compete and practice and everything. But you know, my whole deal was being motivated because I knew the Bears were right around the corner, and I had guys that had NFL pedigree that I was playing with in the USFL and telling me what a great team that I was getting ready to go try out for and how difficult it was to be able to come in and make the Bears after they had just got beaten the NFC Championship game. So you were really going from the worst of experiences to the best of experiences, because there was even times in pregame conversations once, I think we were getting ready to play the San Antonio Gunslingers, and their checks weren't cashing. So at pregame, they're talking about not playing the game. So, you know, when you get in a professional atmosphere and it's less than professional at that time, you learn to appreciate what I have a chance to see now and the way it's grown.
The Gunslingers had a good team that year, though.
Oh, goodness. Against the spread?
Yeah, covering machine.
Alan Risher was the quarterback, and I remember because he was with us for a couple days, and he was with the LSU my senior year in college, and we used to call him Droopalong, like the cartoon character, because he was so slow of style. His cadence was so slow, and yeah, it was a tough, tough way to go about it, but they did end up trading them down to San Antonio.
Frank Cush, by the way, the first NFL person ever to snarl at me. My very first training camp when the Colts, it was their first camp training in Indiana. They had just moved from Baltimore. Summer of 84, he was the head coach of the Colts and did not like some of my questions about how many quarterbacks he was keeping on his roster. I'm just trying to learn an NFL camp first time. Lighten up, dude.
Oh, man, he was mean and angry. Even
yes, he was.
In the USFL days, when he would run the projector during all the game, the offense, the defense, and special teams, and one time we had a really, really good punt snapper, and his name was Jerry Sullivan, and he snapped the ball through the punter's hands, and they ended up recovering it, and he said in film to our punter, he says, look, if that ever happens to you again out in the field, I will personally walk out there and kick your ass. You know, and that's the punter, no less. So it's just, yeah, you know, the worst of times that led up to the best of times happened in a short football lifespan in my time.
We're talking to Tom Thayer, one of our favorite people to talk to on the one-year-ish anniversary of McNeil and Parkins. I didn't want to read too much into it, Tom, back to the culture thing for just a second, but when HaHa Clinton Dix, who's a defensive player, is talking about seeing Club Dub on there and how wanting to play for Matt Nagy, I'm like, man, that's that unquantifiable thing that an offensive coach is getting the attention of a defensive player. I don't know how much it matters, but it does feel significant, like a new era of Bears football to me.
You know, it does, but, you know, I do think the atmosphere that he left behind in Green Bay was a little stale at the time. I do think there is too much there probably is a lot of locker room influence by Aaron Rodgers, by Clay Matthews, by Mike McCarthy in the way that he was treating some of the people within the organization, because I had some close friends that were involved at that time. So I do think that what the stale atmosphere that he came from, the losing atmosphere that he was around in Washington, and then have the opportunity to watch these guys going through the club dub, the winning experience. You see the future of Mitchell Trubisky, the fact that you brought in Khalil Mack, and he, you know, he turned the dial up a couple notches from the very first practice he showed up, and it was evident. So there's a lot of good things that you're seeing. And like I said, when you have teammates that are talking about it in such a positive way, and you're seeing the turnovers that he's capitalizing on, hey, it's you know, it could be an easy decision to make.
Tom, you're a big weight room guy. Who is the player or players on the Bears roster who you really believe would benefit by totally committing themselves to putting on some muscle this offseason?
God, that's a great question. Man, I wish I had a roster to go over it. You know, you see offensive linemen, and it's your everyday commitment to being an offensive lineman to try to get stronger than you were the next year. And I see evidence of that, and now in the having a chance to be in the weight room during the off season and looking at guys like Charles Leno continuously work to be stronger. And, you know, that's the effort he has to put in. If James Daniels ever connects to the weight room, he is going to connect to the weight room in a professional atmosphere where you're not going to school and all the other stuff. If, you know, he has a chance to become a lot stronger, a lot more powerful at the point of attack. You know, Roquan is still going to have to be a guy that works on strength. It's always going to be challenged and tested. And Leonard Floyd, he's a guy that I was impressed last year because he was committed to the weight room, but he was also rehabbing at the same time. Now, if he ever gets the chance to commit himself to the weight room where he gets stronger and more developed, I think he's got a big upside in front of him. One guy that I wish that was more committed to the weight room is probably a guy like Kyle Long. Even though he spent the entirety of the offseason rehabbing a bunch of surgeries, if he could ever get into a weight room and commit what it means to your durability and the abuse of the game, he's a guy that could, if he's a 16-game-a-year guy on the offensive line, you're a heck of a lot better. But, you know, it's weird nowadays because, you know, you have specific personal trainers that work with wide receivers and DBs differently than they do when we are, you know, just living in the weight room year-round with Clyde Emmerich in his routine. So I think it's, you know, that's the weeding out part of football is if you're not committed to the weight room in the off season, you're never going to make it during the season.
Do you still have the every now and again dream that camp is starting and you haven't started your off season program yet? You're like 2 weeks away.
I have those dreams more in the classroom of, you know, being in a test and not showing up all semester. It never happened, but you do have those dreams, especially when you're a C student your whole life. The weight room, I was an A student in the weight room. Yeah. The classroom, it was always a challenge. You know, it was always a challenge for me.
Tom, thank you very much for hopping on the show and being a friend to it. We appreciate you.
Hey, you know what? I was so glad when you guys became a team. You made all of us enjoy afternoons a lot more, and there's a lot more to come with you guys.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that.
It.
Thanks, bud.
Thanks, man.
We appreciate you. That's Tom Thayer with us. We will be, if you want to come hang out, we will be at McGee's tomorrow.
Lincoln Park.
With Dos Equis for the first day of the tournament. And then you and Spiegs, I'm off Friday.
Will Naperville.
Be draft picks in Naperville for the Miller Lite What's on Tap broadcast. Find out what's on tap for College Hoops action. Enjoy Miller Lite specials. Enter to win a $200 gift card and take home Score swag brought to you by Miller Lite. Hold true. Taney's been killing it with the audio memories in and out of segments. It is an anniversary-ish. McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
The McNeil and Parkins one-year anniversary show.
Our one-year-ish. We're the ish show.
Hello, Dan Patrick.
Hi, Mac.
I never asked my first wife, Jill, what happened when I loaned her to you for a night.
What?
That was in Salt Lake.
I forgot about you giving me your wife for a night.
Yeah, well, I never asked.
And he's not sharing.
As long as it wasn't Bill Pito, you know, that would have upset me. Are you coming to town this summer?
What's your ex-wife doing?
She has a man now, Dan.
Oh, okay. All right.
I can ask.
Okay.
I can ask. She and Brian might be into that sort of thing. I don't know.
What's your...
You know Sherry. You met Sherry.
I don't know if there was magic when I met her, but, you know, I could do a drive-by.
The McNeil and Parkins one-year anniversary show.
If we can stay on the air until 2020, Parkins will be in shape.
Lawrence Levy. He's got like 90,000 followers on Twitter at Marlins Man. He's got some videos out there that you can see from his time at Wrigley Field. And Lawrence Levy joining us now. Appreciate the time, Lawrence. We were just talking about it.
So many of those people who sit down there, and I've been going there for about, like I said, 4 years, wrote to me today and thanked me.
Who are the type of people? You said 100 people or so are lined up to get a picture with you. Who are typically the type of people who want to get a photo, get a selfie with Lawrence Levy, Marlins Man?
It's kids. It's old people. It's blacks. It's whites. It's Orientals. It's everybody. Anybody who's a baseball fan who believes in honoring your parents and your teachers and the police and the military and the first responders, which is my little pay it forward campaign thing. That's why it got so popular. Not because who is this guy sitting on the stadium in an orange shirt and jersey?
Lawrence,
nice talking to you guys.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Lawrence Levy, a.k.a. Marlins Man.
Oh, that just kept going, huh?
Yeah. Remember earlier we said we try some things. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Put that into the latter category.
It was fine.
It was fine.
For you.
Sucked.
He's not on the roster for the 2019 season.
No. Shoot your shot. There's a thing that happened at a Cubs game with a guy. We were able to get him on. Maybe there's a story there. And then that happens. Thank you, Tanny, by the way.
Yes.
Make my skin crawl all over again.
I know.
This has been an enjoyable hour for me.
I remembered him saying that. I didn't remember reacting to it on the microphone as I did.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
I gave you an oh, boy.
Well.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Light him up!
Yeah. That was not good. Also not good for my squad. Frank Howard, one of their guards. This happens every damn year to Syracuse basketball. Some violation of academic team policy suspended indefinitely. Every year. Right before the tournament. Some guy's got to just be ineligible.
Is he an important cog?
Yeah. I mean, you know.
The starter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not great. Buddy Boeheim will now be playing more. Jim Boeheim's son, a true freshman. Thankfully, Tyus Battle is back, but.
Well, you're not expecting your team to go deep anyway, are you?
No, but they occasionally make runs in the tournament. They're tough to, you know.
They're tough to prepare for. It is the least relatable thing about you to me or someone like Bernstein to me is going to a school that is expected to have excellence in the two big money. Well, in your case, basketball more so than football. You've had some football success as
well.
We're
on our way back, Syracuse
when
football.
When Doug Marrone was there, they were annual pinstripesers, those guys were. Hey, three in a row, I believe.
Right now, Dino Babers.
Yeah.
Dino Babers, man. Hey, we'll win 9 games next year.
You know, when my school, when Ball State got into a tournament, and it's still that way, it's a big deal. You don't get in all the time. You rarely get in.
That's right.
So I can't imagine what it's like to have a team. They weren't going to do well anyway. We probably were only going to win a couple of games. Oh, okay.
Let's upset Gonzaga and get back to the Sweet 16. Have you put in our wagers yet?
No, I have not. I've sat here, I've stared at it, and I have the $1,000 typed up, ready to put down on Duke, and I can't let myself hit submit.
You're scared to put in a $1,000 wager?
He's scared like it's his money.
Scared to put down, like, yes, that. And just, like, seeing the $1,000 and the payoff is just like, well, yeah, that's nice money back, but it's only plus $225.
It's more than double the money.
What do I always say about scared money, though, guys, right? What
doesn't
do
make say? Money.
Exactly.
Tanny always says that.
Yeah.
Known gambler.
It seems like it's Duke and everybody else.
Because when I go for my college basketball expertise, that's who I go to.
Hey,
Mac says it. I'll hit place.
I rubber stamp it.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
more do you need?
Tanny usually goes and reserves this for Stanley Cup playoff hockey, but it's nice of him to lend his thoughts to the NCAA tournament.
Give you a
teaser
every once in a while.
Yeah.
Throws you a bone.
All right. $1,000
on
Duke, $100 on Auburn.
I have it typed up. I want to confirm for the third or fourth time.
You guys, is Auburn still 33-1?
I believe so.
Auburn is, yes, 33-1.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Yeah. 1,000 on Duke and 100 on Auburn.
We're supporting you, Simba.
Simba!
This is for you, Eli Hershkovich.
Right. Hitting place bets.
Yeah, knock loading, those ears down loading, a size or two. If he...
And it's submitted.
It's in.
All right. Shep said it right earlier today, though. The next time he does Sports Talk Live, Kaplan has to be holding him right in the center of the set, presenting him.
Your king.
To the pride.
It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
McNeil and Parkins flashback. Flashback.
John McDonough.
Yeah, let's go over to the Big Barn and have a conversation with Big Chief Blackhawk.
My pleasure. I didn't know if I'd ever get invited on your show, so this is, I'm excited.
John, what specifically did Joel do wrong that made it worth firing him?
It wasn't any one thing, Danny, specific. I think we can get more out of this roster, Dan. I'm excited to see Jeremy come on board to what he can do. When you talk about the hot seat or, you know, our jobs in jeopardy, I do not believe that our business is that much different than your business. Your business is about ratings over a long period of time, not necessarily one book, but over a long period of time. The same is true in our industry. We've had a heck of a run here, and I think that, you know, I'm very optimistic about the future of this franchise. But I'm optimistic about Stan's future as well. I can't crystal ball this right now. We don't sit back and lean on the three Stanley Cups. We don't talk about that here.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean anything. In my rearview mirror, I can't see 2015. So I think time will tell on all of this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.